might even alter what I share some. Let me say this, because and I missed some of what you said this morning, Andrea, and this is kind of where I'm feeling. Sometimes in our lives as believers, I've spoken here on the book of Habakkuk. I did it a while ago. I don't know if all of you were here for it. It was kind of early on when I came. One of the things I love about the book of Habakkuk is it starts off with a man with a lot of questions. Why? Wherefore? How long? And sometimes we find ourselves as believers, and like I've already just shared, I didn't want that on here, in circumstances and situations where there could be darkness. I remember we shared, just to recap a couple weeks ago, when we talked about the outer court and the holy place. And in the outer court of the tabernacle of Moses, everything was governed by what was going on in the natural. And so if you have a nor'easter, you're outside and you're getting beaten by the elements, and that's what you're aware of. When you go through the door into the holy place, there's the candlestick that's there, and it's the light. He's the light of the world. He's given us and speaks to him as God and speaks to us as believers. But I come to a place in the covering, and I'm with the Lord, and I'm more conscious, I'm more aware of his light than I am the darkness that's around us. Amen? And so we can have a place, and we looked at this a couple weeks ago, where it can be darkness and light at the same time. We looked at that verse in Isaiah. Things can be dark out here, but guess what? Rise, shine, for your what has come. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Sit on a hill, and Paul wrote to the Philippians, you're to shine as lights in the world. Okay? And so it's important that, as opposed to being aware of the darkness, I'm more aware of the light. And I can be in a place. And sometimes in our lives, I'll say this with Habakkuk, sometimes the Lord doesn't always want to just deliver you from your situation or your circumstance. He wants to work and have you work with him in that. And if you read the book of Habakkuk, I should share on it again. Nothing in the man's circumstance really changed, yet he changed, because at the end of the book, he was declaring the faithfulness and the goodness and the provision of God. The last passage in Habakkuk is one of the best verses in all of Scripture. And sometimes when we find ourselves, as we've been sharing, in a place of whether it's your work, a family situation, whether it's just a place in your mind that you're in, and you say, man, this really stinks. There's darkness here. The Lord's given you, we're not victims, we're victors, right? I can't be an overcomer if I don't have anything to overcome. And so the Lord will put things in your life and say, you know what? We're right here right now. There might be darkness all around you. Everywhere you look, you see it's darkness. But he's called you to walk in the light and to be the light and to bring it into that situation. Amen? Yeah. There's always responsibility. The Lord gives us, as believers, everything we receive, it's like Aaron said this morning, it's grace. It's free. It's just the Lord just giving me what I don't deserve. But the more I walk with God, I do recognize that, you know what? He's given me so much because there's responsibility. Amen. The Spirit of God wants to partner with us, okay? And to work not just within us, but work through us, okay? And that's a valuable thing. And so sometimes when you find yourself in the deepest, darkest places or places of pressure, and Acts says we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. That word's actually pressure. And sometimes when we find our places in a vice being squeezed, that might be the place right there that the Lord wants to see your breakthrough and to work in. Amen. Andrea was reading, was it the devotional that the ladies get? I don't know. But sometimes when we find ourselves in places where there's things going on, we can say, and I look at it this way, Lord, what are you doing in this situation? I was like, Lord, what are you doing? But Lord, you're up to something, and it's something good. And I have to tune into the Spirit and say, okay, Lord, this is going on. It's not for my destruction. I'm a son and daughter of God. So what part would you have me play in this? What would you have me do? What are you speaking and what are you saying in these moments? That's a day-to-day everything thing that we do. Amen? And it's a good place to be. I will share some this morning with you. I'm going to get right to it, actually. I won't be long. I'm going to abbreviate my sermon. I'm going to talk to you about the 10 virgins. And because one thing about the candlestick I should call it a lampstand, because they weren't in the tabernacle of Moses. If you remember what we spoke about a couple weeks ago, and it was seven. It's going lampstand. I wish I had it on the board. And it's where the light was in the holy place. And we spoke about how it's the word of God. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. Nine gifts and nine fruits of the Spirit and all the different elements of that. But it symbolized light, but it wasn't lit by striking a match and putting it here. It was filled constantly with oil. Okay? It wasn't a match, it was oil. Throughout the scriptures, I'm not going to take too much time to develop it. Oil speaks of what? Holy Spirit, the anointing. So, you know, prophet, priest, and king, they were anointed with oil. You know, James talks about when you go, so when I go pray for Jenny, what we do is we get oil and anoint her with oil. And we do that. If you remember, in Bethel, when Jacob was in Bethel, and he laid the rock, and said on the rock, he anointed it with oil. It speaks of the presence of God. This is the house of God. And throughout the scripture, it speaks of the presence, the anointing, the Spirit of God within us. When you're born again, you have the Spirit of God, right?
Amen.
All right? You may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you have the Spirit of God living and dwelling and residing within you. And so the Word of God tells us to be full, but it also tells us to be filled. How can I be full and filled at the same time? There's two things. One, I leak, but in other things, I have to expand my capacity. All right? And so if I have, I'll use this. Let's say I'm lifting weights or whatever, okay? And my muscle is going to be big and full, but the only way it can grow is if I continue to go to the gym. I continue to do it. If I'm to be filled and to continue to be filled, it means what I have within me, my capacity, has to enlarge. All of us have a certain area in our spirit, a certain, that's kind of what was I thought the Lord was saying this morning. And so like what Sharon said, she was praying this week. So she's full of the Spirit, right? And you say, okay, I'm happy, I'm content, I have the Spirit of God within me. And if I die today, I'm going to heaven, I'm good to go. But there's something sometimes where we say, you know what? The capacity has to enlarge. There can be more. And the more I continue to feed, the more I continue to eat, my capacity continues to grow. And I'm full, but I'm also being filled at the same time. Make sense? And so all of us are called to grow in that aspect and to grow in that area. Go ahead and turn with me, and I'm going to briefly go over Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13, the 10 virgins. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, if you do not know the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. We can take a long time on this. I'm going to go at it this way. The whole context, and if you go back to Matthew 24, no matter what your end time persuasion is, he's speaking there about the end times. Okay? And however you see that, he's speaking there in Matthew 24, Matthew 25. You remember when we went through the book of Ephesians and we spoke about Bride of Christ? Hopefully, yes, someone. And it speaks of how we are the bride, and there should be intimacy and things. There's two things here. First of all, context of this was an Eastern wedding. And so what they would do is you would have the bridegroom. So if I was marrying Andrea, I would be up. And so what they would do at the middle of the night, the bridesmaids would kind of wait. And so if the bridegroom came out, they would make a procession to the bride's house for the wedding the next day. And so what happens, he's saying, if it's delayed, so they had their lamps and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and there was a delay. One group had oil, but that's all they had. They were just full. The other group had oil in their lamp, but they had additional oil to take with them in case there was a delay. Like I say, they were full, and they had more to continually be filled with. And so that's what he's paralleling. One thing, too, I want to point out with everything we've been saying, this happened at night, right? There was lamps to be lit at night. It says it was the midnight hour. Midnight hour throughout Scripture. Remember, in the Passover, when the death angel came, it was at the midnight hour. A lot of things happened. Ruth went and sat at Boaz's feet at the midnight hour. It was an important time. It can speak of the darkest hour of the day when people slumber and sleep. I want to say a few things, and this is the heart of what I'm going to say. The Lord here equates end times, where you're at in your time, to intimacy with the Lord. Okay? I feel like that's been the theme all morning, actually, from worship and everything. A desire to be filled and to be full and to come to the Lord in the realm of intimacy. He doesn't say, go away and hide. He says, you need to have more oil in your lamps. Because if the bridegroom is delayed, I have to have enough to be light and to see where I'm going. Amen? It makes sense. It's darkness at night. It's end times. We're coming to meet the bride. We're going to meet the groom. It's delayed. I need continual oil because if all I have is just what I have, I might run out. Right? All of us, actually, I think it's a healthy thing. Any of us, all of us are ministers. Everywhere you go, whenever you minister in any way, shape, or form, at least for me, and I've heard others, if I constantly minister, whether I'm in a church, whether I'm in a family get-together, whether I'm in my work, if I'm constantly ministering, it means I'm constantly giving out. I'm constantly, my oil is being used up with my lamp. Okay? If I don't go in and resupply that oil, get to the point, I have nothing to give.
That's right.
If I come up here and do what I'm doing, and I just do it, and I go do whatever, and I never take the time to say, Lord, I'm full, but I want to continue to be filled, increase my capacity, fill me up, Lord, I'm leaking. It might be the midnight hour, and my lamp is out. Okay? Anywhere and everywhere I go. And so if we live in a world, I've said this too, all you do, my parents have cable, so I got to see some of the cable news stations when I was at home. And that's enough to make you pull your hair out. And if you question how our world is, there's a lot of darkness in our world. Okay? And I don't deny that. But my focus isn't on that. My focus is on, you know what? He is the light, and He's given me the oil to be the light. You're the lights of the world. You shine as lights. He's given me that responsibility. And it's imperative that as we talk about the context of end times, if you look at Matthew 24, He relates that. I just find it fascinating. He connects it with intimacy and brideship and oil and the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, go store up all the guns you can. If you want to, that's fine. But He says, go up to the Lord and be intimate and fill yourself. As you go out, you can be used in ways that you couldn't if I just say, this is my oil, this is all I have, I'm ready to roll. Because all of us will have a time where I need to be refilled and refreshed. I was sharing this with my wife, and I realized sometimes even what I speak, it changes me. And we had a family get together last Saturday. All of us got together. And I told Andrew that night, I said, you know, I didn't realize it, but I spent the whole time ministering to each and every person. That was my objective. I didn't know I was doing it. There's an intentionality that all of us have to have as believers to bless and to encourage. Everywhere I go, I carry the light of God with me. Someone can be going through real distress and darkness, you know. my sister, her, Carson, remember you prayed for my niece, Willie, you know, and she had the surgery, and that's a tough thing when your daughter's going through something, you know. And so my objective, I said, you know, Carson, I prayed for her. The Lord gave me a word for her to share, okay? Because I'm always ready, instant in season and out of season. That's all of our lives. And I go, Brad, that's you, man. Every place you go and you speak life and you be the light everywhere you go. I have to constantly fill myself up for that, though. Amen. God gave me a word for my niece because I went to him and said, Lord, I desire the intimacy. I desire the oil. And he was faithful to fill it up, and I had something to give. Amen?
Amen.
That's the whole context of this. Let me share a few more things about it. One thing the Lord connects often with the end times is watch and pray. If you notice that in Matthew 24, he does it. And Mark, he does it again. He connects it, watching and praying, looking to the Lord, seeking after him. I alluded to this earlier, but I'm going to say sometimes there's a tension that we have in the body of Christ, depending on what your anointing and your skill set and where you are. I always say, you know, you can we have some evangelists in the room, and you can always spot. We knew a guy, and no one in here is like that. But when I was in Bible school, there was a guy there who was an evangelist, pure through and through. He went all over doing it, but he had such a passion for constantly doing. And he would always have tension with the guy whose passion was just to, let's pray. And they were just this little, with Jack. There was always this tension that was there because one of them always wanted to go, one of them always wanted to just sit and pray. And they got to the point, you could watch it, where they realized, hey, you know, this is a partner. We're doing both, right? There's an element where I go, and there's also an element where I come. And before, actually, the Lord sent the disciples out, he first required for them to come. Right? And so there's a coming and there's always a going. And so one thing, sometimes battles are fought and won. Willie was sharing about intercession some this morning. Sometimes battles are fought and won. And this is my drive where I'm going at this morning. In your prayer closet. You ever heard of Reese Howells? Anyone? Reese Howells, intercessor? Yeah, Bill? If you have his book, I had to read it. It was required reading when I took prayer. There's a lot that people attribute. He had the Bible school in Wales to World War II, the victories that were won, because they spent so much time on their knees and fasting and in prayer and seeking after God. And they said a lot of those battles were won in there in that prayer room. That's an important thing. That was a pretty dark time, wasn't it?
Yes.
World War II, that was nasty, just darkness. And what were they doing? It's a beautiful picture of this. They were watching and they were praying. Lord, there's darkness going on, but you've given us something. I have authority. I can pray. I can speak things. And they would go out and pray. And there's a lot of people today. Go look them up. Reese Howells, intercessor. A lot of credit for some of the victims in World War II goes back to that Bible college at Wales. They were sitting there praying and interceding for the Lord for what's going on. Amen. That's a valuable thing. As we go out as well, I alluded to this earlier. I love better when my heart and my spirit's tenderized from God. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just like I shared my example earlier. The guy I was speaking about, I have every reason to be nasty and mean back to them, right? But when I go and spend, Lord, what's your heart for this person? My heart is tenderized to be light in a dark place when I first come and I watch and I pray. And the Lord changes me and my perspective. Amen. James, I'm going to brag on you if I can. James took me to the airport in Boston and picked us up. Had a fun time picking us up. But I appreciate you. But he was sharing how someone kind of ripped him off at the car place.
Yeah.
Did something I wouldn't have liked. And I was so proud and so pleased. It actually ministered to me. Because he told the guy, you know, I'm kind of a new person now. If this was my old man, I probably would have... The cops would be here right now. But he said, I was praying, how do I deal with this guy who's not doing this to me? How can I be Christ-like in this situation, this circumstance? I do that because God's given me oil of the Spirit, and as I continue to fill myself, if you never filled yourself, If you never came to the Lord, you're asking the right questions. Father, how do I respond to this? What's your heart for this man? What's your heart for this situation? It's easy then just to react and lash out, right? When I have my heart's tenderized from the Lord, it's a lot harder to do that, okay? Has anyone ever experienced that before? I know someone here has to experience that. It's a beautiful thing. And I always say before, any time when there's a situation of darkness in your life, go to Him. I always tell people, wait to react and first just go to Him. Because oftentimes, what His heart is going to be different than what my natural reaction will be. If this person's doing that, or this situation at work is like this, or this is that, before you react, say, okay, this is a dark place. You've called me to be the light. Lord, fill up my lamp. What's that song? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. The old one, I think we sang that when I was in children's church. Lord, fill up my lamp. Give me your perspective. Spirit of God, speak to me. Fill me with your love, with your spirit, with your heart, so I can minister effectively and appropriately in the situation. Amen? Amen. I think I'm going to wrap up because I want to honor and respect our time this morning. Let me share one more thing, though. And you don't have to turn there, but it's in Zechariah chapter 1 through 4. No, chapter 4, 1 through 14, excuse me. And that's a picture. You can turn there if you want. It's a vision Zechariah had. Sometimes in our lives, we go through things and we go through situations where there's no possible way I can get through it if it's not be for the Lord. Amen? And I have to have that in my life. And this is a situation where Zechariah is a similar thing. He was asleep, and the Lord woke him up and gave him a vision of the lampstands. And what was happening here, just to give you a quick little recap, it's Zechariah, I'm not going to read it all, chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. They'd been building, you remember the story when Israelites went into captivity and they came back to rebuild the temple? And there was a lot of struggles, and so the Lord sent the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai kind of was the fiery guy exhorting, go do this, and Zechariah gave him the visions. And so there was in a place where the Lord seemed like what you were doing and what they were doing. Lord, I've been speaking into this situation for so long. I've been pouring myself here. I've been pouring myself there. And I see nothing good. There's no results happening. There's nothing going on. There's two verses I want to read here. If you read this, he talks about in verse 14, it's the two sons of oil. But it talks about the lampstand being filled with oil. And this is the passage that says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. There's two things I want to look at. It says, do not despise the day of small things. This speaks to all of us in our lives. There's times and places, and I kind of mentioned this morning during our prayer time up here, when the Spirit of God is involved in your life, and the Spirit is working in your life and moving, what the Lord was speaking to Zechariah and through the people was, you know what? I've been at this now for 10 years. I've been doing this. We've been pouring, trying to get this built. It doesn't reflect what we had before. It isn't going on. And he says, do not despise the day of small things. When the Spirit of God is working in our hearts and our lives, sometimes there's times that, Lord, this ain't working. Lord, I've prayed like they said. Lord, I've fasted like they said. I've read my word like they said. I've done everything I know to do. I'm putting in here, I'm putting in there. Just the heart of God is, do not despise the day of small things, because when the Spirit of God is involved in your life, in your circumstance, in your situation, there's some of you in here, if I can pick on you, Linda, you're one of them I'm thinking of. There's been incremental positive things I've seen the whole time I've been here. And there's times when we can just live in our day-to-day and says, Lord, nothing's happening. Lord, I've given this to you. I've given that to you. And I see nothing happen. Do you have the Spirit of God within you? Not by might nor by power, but what? By the Spirit of the Lord. And they were rebuilding the temple when he said that. That was a physical work, all right? You can't just, I'm going to pray for a temple out there and it's just going to magically appear. I have to get out there and work. So I work, but not by might nor by power, but I also have the Spirit of God in it. There's prayer, there's intercession, there's passion that goes into it. There's something of the heart that goes. And we can sit in our lives and say, Lord, I don't see anything happening here. It's day to day to day. I'm laboring. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing what I think you've called me to do. And I see nothing. Have we ever had that in our lives? The Lord's heart is, do not despise the day of small things. Is the Spirit of God involved in it? Have you asked the Spirit of God into your situation? Over time, I'm picking on you, Linda, because I've seen it since I've been here with her and her family. Lord, I've been praying for so long. I've been doing this for so long. Don't despise the day of small things, because I've seen constant growth in that area. And sometimes God gives us our answers like that. And sometimes He's working and working and working, and we don't see it. And there's a suddenly that comes. I think Andrew said, Aaron said this in one of the ladies' things with, I think it was Esther. It was like it was just a suddenly. Well, the Lord had been working behind the scenes for a whole long time to get to that suddenly. It wasn't like the Lord's just sitting on His hands. Okay, I'm going to wait till you do this. The Lord's constantly working on your behalf. Amen. And if I'm constantly filling and I'm constantly being used by the Lord, there's a filling, there's an empowering, there's a strength that comes, whether I feel it or not. Some of the prayer time, there's things that happen in this church, I believe. Even some of our Tuesday prayers, I feel like. Things can happen. We say, well, I don't see anything right now. Do not despise the day of small things, because there's little steps that happen in the Spirit. Amen? There's one of our mentors in the Bible school would always say, you know, I can go in and spend time with the Lord, take however long, and I leave and I feel like I've wasted my time. He said, but over time, as time continues to go, I see, wow, there's been such a change. And I realize, man, when I was praying there a year ago about this, I saw nothing. I thought it was a waste of time. But man, God, you were working then, weren't you? Because your spirit is charged, your spirit's energizing, and it's always working on our behalf, whether we see it or whether we don't. Amen? One more thing, I'm closing with this. I promise you I'm going to close with this one. The wise ones had their oil, right? It was theirs. The foolish ones, they wanted it, but they couldn't. At the end of the day, I'm big on the body of Christ. I need you, you need me, we all need each other. But when you stand before the Lord, it's not going to be, well, James didn't do this for me this day. James wasn't there for me. When it comes down to it, all of us have responsibility in the kingdom of God for our own lamps. Amen. And the Lord's put us all in a dark place, wherever that might be, work, family, whatever. And He's given us all the responsibility. I can't get it from you at the end of the day. It has to be from the Lord. Okay? You might help me. You might speak into my life and I can receive of the substance that God's given you. But at the end of the day, I have to have it from Him. And sometimes we look and we want, and I get frustrated because you hadn't been doing this for me. You hadn't been doing that for me. You haven't been doing this, 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 this. At the end of the day, Lord, I need you to be the one that fills my oil, right? Amen. There's a time for all of us to receive, and I do it all the time. But I can't impart to you, I can't transfer to you my experiences with God, my life with God. That has to be something you have. I was talking with my pastor this weekend, right before we left. We spent some good time in his office with him, just talking about some things and some issues and situations that's just personal to me. And he shared with me, he's in his 80s, he shared, I can share with you from my life experience. He said, by the end of the day, you have to walk through it. And you have to have the Spirit of God working on your behalf, and you're going to have to come through it. Each and every one of us in our life, I can't rely on, well, this worked for him, so it's going to work the same way for me. Or if it doesn't, then I get mad at him. No, hey, I've seen that, but at the end of the day, you have to have that walk. I needed to hear, that was good for me. I was like, you're exactly right. I think I already knew that before I asked you that. But it's a good, healthy thing to know. Amen? Amen. And we're constantly building and we're constantly moving. I was talking to Grace real quick. This is my last point. And we were sharing about airplanes. She wants to be a flight attendant. And I was saying, I always pray at the takeoffs and the landings. My wife looked at me and said, I was closing my eyes and my mouth was moving. And I was just praying, Lord, keep this plane. You know, we watched this little movie about pilots, and or City in the Sky. It's a documentary. It's really fascinating. But there's certain planes that pilots have to train for. They can be pilots, and they train for 10 years before they're allowed to touch that plane. Okay? What happens if you say, well, 10 years from now, I can do that plane? Each and every day you start, each and every day you begin to train, it's constantly building up to that day where you're driving that big plane, right? And I'm driving the small ones, I'm driving the small ones, I'm driving. Do not despise the day of small things in your life. And there's some of you, maybe you're even at that point now, maybe it's there. Be faithful where you're at. Be faithful where God's called you. Continue to pour in, continue to receive, because you never know when God has that big plane for you to drive. And I shared on this a few weeks ago. If I never take responsibility and focus in on where I'm at now, when the day when the Lord comes and He says, I've got that big plane for you to drive, and I haven't been doing my due diligence in the Spirit these up to these 10 years, He might say, you know what, you haven't been doing it, I'm going to give it to Willie, because he's been filling his lamp. He's got extra oil. I can send him there, but I can't send you, because you haven't been driving that plane. You haven't been training. You haven't been in the flight simulators. Okay? That's for all of us. We don't know what awaits us this afternoon, next week, a year from now. But it's important, as we learn, is that the oil of the Spirit, this connection with the end times and intimacy. Lord, I'm in training for whatever right now. You've trained me in the past for this, but there might be someone next week, like my landlord, that I need a lot of training for. And if I hadn't been doing it then, maybe the Lord put me with this guy, because he's been training me for something 5 years ago that I needed. And he put me with him. He gave me the awesome responsibility to be a light in a dark place. Always be alert of that. I can't take that day and 10 years from now, I can't say, Willie, it's my turn, man. Give me that oil you've been praying and seeking God for all these years. And say, no, it's mine, right? And he gets to drive that plane. I'll say, no, I've got my own. Willie's got his oil. I've got oil in my lamp. I've got more oil because I've been pouring. And I'm ready to roll, Lord, and do what you've called me to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm done. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done this morning, Lord, in hearts and lives. Lord, everything that was shared, everything that was spoken of. Lord, I thank you for the song that Bob sang. That was Anointed Bob. There's something about that, man. I'm going to tell you, it touched heaven and touched our hearts, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done here this morning. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers, Lord, that we are lights in dark places. Lord, you've sent each and every one of us, and Lord, you've given all of us oil in our lamps, and you've called us and you've commissioned us to go in all the world, Lord, to come and to go and to be and to do. And so I thank you for this body. I thank you for what you have for us in the days ahead. We bless you, we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Good.